We've waded in. We've felt wave after wave wash over us as we have marveled that the God who created the heavens and the earth has made us his own children. Now it's time to dive into those deeper waters of relationship with God. And perhaps now more than ever, the timing is right. This week, I read a few quotes that nicely summarize where we've been so far. In Paul Miller's book, A Praying Life, I read, "Effective prayer begins with recognizing that you are entering the very presence of God for the purpose of building a relationship with Him. Relationships that work are built with praise, gratitude, honesty, trust, forgiveness, and intimacy. In other words, they're motivated by love. Prayer should be a reflection of all those elements." The reality is that as we develop a praying life, I lose control. I lose independence. I gain friendship with God and identify as His beloved child. I gain a quiet heart. I gain the living work of God in my life. I lose my kingdom and enter His. I am moved from being an orphan to being a child of God. That's what happens when I enter into a praying life. That's what happens when you enter into a praying relationship with God. If we think we can handle life on our own, we will never take prayer seriously. And if we never take prayer seriously, we will never develop a deep and intimate relationship with God. And in case you haven't figured it out yet in the past week, we are living in a time that is a massive call to prayer. I know you turn on the news and you think you're being called to be afraid. You're not. You're being summoned by the Lord Most High to pray. God's invitation to believers is clear. As Beth Elves writes in her book, Becoming a Prayer Warrior, prayer is entering into a relationship with God so we can determine His will and call His will into existence upon the earth. All week long, 2 Chronicles 7, verses 13 and 14 have been playing on repeat through my mind. The original context of those words was God speaking to Solomon about the temple after he just built it, affirming that He would dwell there among His people. And God said this, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." This week, I also remembered a bumper sticker that I used to see on a car that drove on our street all the time. He probably lived there, but I didn't know who he was. "Life is hard. Handle with prayer." Beloved, this deeper relationship that we are talking about throughout the course of Lent, this deeper relationship that we are being drawn into makes God way more than some kind of divine ATM where you can identify yourself by putting in a card and typing in a code and then getting what you want. That is not who God is. Beloved, the deeper relationship we are talking about does not render God to be some sort of cosmic lifeguard standing at the pool of life ready to dive in and save you when you desperately need it, and otherwise you can simply ignore his presence. That's not the relationship we are being called into. Jesus' prayer is held out as a model, and it is about being and becoming obedient to the Father, united to the Father, and empowered by the Father. Elizabeth Elves writes, "Prayer is the way that we, his branches, draw the nutrients we need from God the vine to produce the fruit of his Holy Spirit in our lives. So prayer, then, is the believer's primary ministry." Prayer is your primary ministry. It's not your only ministry, but it's the one that takes precedent because it's the one that paves the way for everything else. Everything else that you try to do in God's name will be ineffective if you are not bound to him in relationship through prayer. We can't do a thing apart from God. Today, we are finally going to go beneath the surface of these deeper waters. So put your face masks on. You're about to glimpse the secret kingdom as we dive under, and I don't mean Atlantis. The kingdom of God. Jesus said, "This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's that "as it is in heaven" part where I got hung up this week. As it is in heaven, that's where the world is going. You've got all sorts of people on the media right now trying to tell you that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, that everything's falling apart, and that's where their worldview stops. Ours does not stop there. When God first created the heavens and the earth, when he lit the skies with the sun and set the stars in place, when he breathed life into Adam and Eve, the trajectory was set. A beautiful world that knew and loved its creator. And once Adam and Eve bought into Satan's lie, yeah, we hit a detour. We became a kingdom divided, sure. But God's never given up. God has a plan, a path of redemption that would see the prince of darkness put in his place and the prince of peace reigning forever and ever. His kingdom made new, earth and heaven no longer divided. Instead, at the return of the king, all things will be as it is in heaven. God's love known fully. No doubts about it. God's will done completely. No one trying to do their own thing. God's children perfectly empowered for their role in the new heavens and new earth, given authority, and finally actually believing we have it. Because we're grafted into the source. As I think about "as it is in heaven," the words of Jesus' prayer for all believers in John 17 come to mind. In John 17, Jesus prayed this for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. As it is in heaven, looks like that. Brought into the fullness of relationship with God, Father, Son, and Spirit. How's that for some deep water? Our time with God brings us into a oneness of heart with Him. Praying transforms how we look at people, how we view world events. It transforms everything when we realize that the kingdom is His. It's not our kingdom. It's not your kingdom. It's not my kingdom. It's not any government's kingdom. The kingdom is God's and God's alone. And when we recognize that, we find our rightful place. So really then, the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, is an extension of that first thing we looked at last week that we prayed, that first request. Hallowed be your name. Andrew Kuyvenhoven asserts that the prayer asks, let your royal rule be real, here, and now. It's not unlike singing, show us your glory, right? That's what we sang this morning. Show us your glory. Fear, bow, right? That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Let it be recognized that you and you alone, O Lord, our God. Let your grace rain down, that the world would change. That the world would recognize that you and you alone, O Lord, our God. That you're on the throne and wondrously reigning. It's a prayer for new eyes. It's a prayer for it to be revealed that God is God, no matter how it might feel at any given moment. The prayer longs for a day when everyone rejoices because it has been made clear that the Lord is King. But this prayer is not just about wanting all people everywhere to know God, to submit to His rule and reign, and to know His love, as wonderful as that will be. To pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is also a deeply personal prayer. It's a deeply personal prayer for revelation. It's kind of like those words spoken to Jesus long ago by a desperate father. I believe, help my unbelief. You see, as Bonnie McKiernan so wisely blogged, prayer is medicine for unbelief. When belief and unbelief collide, let us turn to the one our belief comes from, the source and object of our faith. Personal contact with Jesus, our Savior, is how we drive away unbelief. Seek His face. Pray desperately and expectantly. The belief we do have is the only means of vanquishing the enemies of our peace. So let your weak faith cling to our mighty God. Repent and pray for deliverance from unbelief even before praying for deliverance from your circumstances. Remember, you are a child of God, a co-heir with Christ. You are a vessel that contains the Holy Spirit. The problem is that we who are citizens of the kingdom somehow don't believe that to be true. Or we think that somehow that's insignificant until Jesus returns. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Jesus invites us to pray for a bold revelation with the expectation that we will then walk in it, that we will use the authority and gifts given us as agents of the kingdom. As the Heidelberg Catechism states, your kingdom come means rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve your church and make it grow. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all. Your kingdom come is about Christ's reign in your life, in mine, and about His transformative power for the world. God's grace changes everything. Absolutely everything. Jesus adds not just that the Father's kingdom would come, but also that the Father's will would be done, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, according to the Heidelberg Catechism, means help us and all people to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any back talk. Your will alone is good. Help us one and all to carry out the work we are called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. I love that line, without any back talk. That's an honest statement, isn't it? How often don't we think that we know better than God? We think that we know the solutions to our problems, or at least that given enough time, we could figure it out. We think we've got this. We're like 7-year-olds telling our dad how to drive from the back seat. We haven't got a clue, but we speak with authority about things we know nothing about. And then when our Father gives us authority to speak into a situation, to declare words of hope, to declare freedom for captives, then we clam up and look around the room, hoping that someone else will do it. One moment we act like it's our kingdom, and the next we act like we have no responsibility whatsoever, despite what Scripture clearly teaches. Why are we so bold about things we know nothing about, and so timid when it comes to living out our God-anointed rule as sons and daughters of the King? We are ambassadors of the kingdom to a world that so desperately needs to know that there is more than fear, more than scandal, more than division, more than backbiting and hate. Jesus calls us to pray for a revelation of truth that will set us free, embolden us, empower us, unite us, forgive us, and move us from brokenness to a whole new world as it is in heaven. But beloved, prayer becomes pointless when we passively accept everything that society says. When we simply accept that COVID-19 will have its way with us and we don't even bother to stand in prayer against it, that's a problem. When we want our children to walk with the Lord and we see them turning and doing their own thing and we passively say, oh, they'll figure it out, they'll come around eventually, and we don't speak up and speak the hard word of truth that needs to be said. There are too many times where we hang back when God would have us be bold. The Lord of the heavens and earth has chosen to work through people. Isaiah 43 and a whole host of scriptures make that plain, right? As God expresses judgment for the failures of his people time and time again. Why? Because they didn't do his work. He gave them a job to do and they didn't bother. Jeremiah 1:12 tells us that God is watching to see that his word is fulfilled. In other words, that we are carrying out what he said. Jesus went so far as to say, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. When we pray that God's kingdom come and God's will be done, and realize that we have a role to play in this all, that's humbling, isn't it? Terrifying, even, if we're honest. Because God's in control and can back it up. And while we like to pretend we're in control, we've got nothing to back that up on our own strength, right? It's our independence that's the problem. We rely on ourselves instead of on him. And so this prayer of faith, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is a big step. Who am I kidding? It's a dive in. To pray this prayer is to dive into uncharted waters. You can't pray that prayer if you don't trust that the one who calls you his child. You can't pray it if you don't believe that you are a child of the King. You can't honestly ask for things on earth to be done as they are in heaven when you don't trust the infinite personal God who calls you by name. The key to on earth as it is in heaven is a deep, abiding relationship. This request hangs on the first words we speak in this prayer. Our Father. This request is dependent on the way that Jesus has brought us into relationship with the Father and sent us the Holy Spirit. This request is entirely focused on God. It's focused on God and not on the mess we see around us. And it's only when we do that. It's only when we focus on God and not on the mess around us that we begin to see that those who are with us are greater than those who are against us. It's only then that we begin to see the world with grace-saturated vision. And we exchange the goggles of fear for the goggles of grace and see clearly through the rough waters that the kingdom of God is nearer now than it was a moment ago, because we are abiding in him. And he is filling us as we surrender. I recently heard that as we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we stop trying to carve the world into our image. and start allowing God to carve us into his Son's image. Are you willing to dive in to the kind of relationship that would allow God to carve you into the image of his Son? Let us pray. O Christ, be magnified in me. Forgive my unbelief and multiply my faith exponentially. Remake me, empower me to be your witness, to be one through whom your kingdom is known on this earth, one through whom your will is done on this earth, as you call more and more home to you. So that one day soon, Father, your name will be praised endlessly as your kingdom comes and your will is done on earth as it is in heaven forevermore. Lord, help us. Help us build your kingdom here. Amen.
Stand and join us, please.